Hello and welcome to the Hennessy Podcast. My name is Alex, the self-proclaimed host. And with me today, we have our director of design, Nathan Malinick.
Hello.
Who is also your host.
Yeah, self-proclaimed as well, I guess.
Two self-proclaimed hosts here.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? So today, welcome to the podcast. If you're listening, we thank you. And let me just reiterate this again. If you listen to episode number 7, which was the 30th anniversary, it was a really cool, really long episode. If you haven't listened to it, definitely go back and listen. But the main thing is we're back. The podcast is back, and we're going to be back every week, no matter what. So I just want everyone to know that this is the place to find exclusive Hennessy content, to find exclusive Hennessy news, and also for just a really cool automotive podcast. We're going to have special guests. We're going to talk about interesting topics. We're going to get really down in the deep and dirty of really interesting car stuff. And myself and Nathan have really awesome opinions. So just get ready for it. But today is our first intro episode back, and we're going to just kind of have a little bit of an intro to your hosts. So myself and Nathan, we're going to go into a little bit about our stories, our automotive stories, our automotive backgrounds, how we got into automotive, and
yeah,
and we can go ahead and just dive right in.
Sure. Well, one thing that I thought about when I was thinking about this whole topic was kind of what was your earliest car memory? Or like what got you into cars? Because I think the cool thing about working here is everyone's a car, like everyone's in really into cars. And I'll get into this later, but it's interesting in the design world. That's not necessarily the case.
Which was news to me when you told me.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought
it was news to me when I found out.
Yeah. I thought if you wanted to design cars, like you'd probably be a car guy, right?
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe you're just a talented artist.
Yeah. Well, some people think that it is just like the, I don't know, there's like a cool factor and it has nothing to do with cars. It's just like, I want to be a car designer. It's so cool. But then you ask them, hey, what kind of engine does your car have? And they're like, I've never even lifted the hood.
Interesting. Yeah.
What's an engine?
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads in. Let's just talk about Nathan, your story. So Nathan is our director of design at Hennessy. So the Venom F5, you have your hands all over that in so many aspects of the design of that car. So
really
awesome guy. Number one, you're an awesome friend, but really talented, super smart.
That.
So I want the world to know a little bit more about your story, your education, your experience.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start at the beginning. How did you get into cars?
Well, my dad had a 1972 Fiat Spider 124 growing up. And I remember, I can still picture just sitting in you know, the pleather seats and the smell of the gas
leather
and the oil. Oh, yeah. And seeing the words Pininfarina on the dash. It sounded so close to Ferrari that I thought, wow, this is like a little Ferrari car. So, you know, I didn't know like that Pininfarina was a design house and that Ferrari, you know, was separate. But it was just so cool to me. And I was trying to think about my earliest memory was, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on this, but like I'd sit on his lap and drive, you know,
and
drive that car. And it was just so cool and going on road trips with them. And then switched to a Alfa Romeo, 1970 Alfa Romeo Spider Veloce, which sounds super fancy. It's really not, but it's a beautiful Italian Alfa Romeo. And on Top Gear, it's been said that you're not a car guy unless you've owned an Alfa Romeo.
Wow. And I've never heard that.
Yeah. Well, the reason
I'm not a car guy.
Well, okay. Sorry to break it to you, but the reason being is because it breaks down all the time.
Oh.
And you form a bond, a love-hate relationship with it, and you dump all of your money into it, and you have to be a car guy to do that.
To go through that.
Yeah.
To endure it.
Otherwise, just get a Civic and be done with it.
Right.
So Sam, you're laughing because we both drive Civics.
Producer Sam, baby.
So that's some of my earliest memories. And for some reason in my mind, I have a 355 bright red, like in my mind. And then this is really random, but then a 550 Maranello that I remember driving by and just thinking it was the coolest car in the world. But, you know, it's something that it's nothing that was cultivated within me. It was not on purpose. No one said like, hey, you have to really be into cars. But you know, I distinctly remember being in the second grade and I knew every car on the road.
Yeah.
I could name every single one. I knew all the companies. I was drawing them. I was doodling them. Definitely knew more about cars than any subject, you know, ever in school.
Yeah,
for sure. And then I remember I was 12 years old and a friend of my dad's had gone to this magical school called the Art Center in Pasadena, California. And he knew my passion for cars. And he said, well, you know, like that's where people go to learn how to design cars. And so at 12 years old, I knew in my mind it was so clear that I had to get there. So that was crystallized then. And kind of fast forward through to the end of high school, I basically just took all of my notes that I had in high school that I was just doodling on when I should have been taking notes. And I sent all of that as my quote unquote portfolio to the Art Center.
Nice.
And got rejected.
Boom.
Because that's not a portfolio. But it didn't matter, and it didn't, you know, I didn't wave in wanting to get there. But basically what happened is I said, okay, I didn't get into there, but I got into a school called Auburn University, War Eagle.
Awesome, War Eagle.
And there they had a program that I found called Industrial Design. Make a long story short, I met up with some Art Center recruiters, I guess you'd say, at an auto show in LA one year. And, you know, the Art Center used to be this place where companies would send professionals to like level up.
Okay.
So you'd be a working professional and you'd go to the Art Center to really increase your skill level. And so these guys were kind of more of that generation. So they said, hey, you know, I've got an industrial design degree. You should do that. Most of us do. You should go get that first and then come here. Now that's changed now because a lot of the people that I went to school with were coming out of high school or didn't have, you know, previous degrees. But so that's how I knew about industrial design. And for anyone listening, industrial design is basically product design, really, I guess is the simplest way to put it. You know, everything but houses and cars,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I got an industrial design degree from Auburn University, which ended up being an awesome experience. And maybe if we do like a design specific, you know, podcast down the road, we can talk more about that.
Yeah, we will, for sure.
But yeah, so I got that degree and then 2 weeks after graduating, hit the road. Thankfully, got into the Art Center, sent a real portfolio.
Right. So, and the Art Center, for anyone who doesn't know, the Art Center is a really awesome place. The name Art Center doesn't really tell the story of what it is.
That's true.
It's a really crazy place.
Yes. Yeah, it is. So, essentially, there's a few schools in the world that are okay, and one of them is like amazing to go for car design. I'm kidding. there's a few places in the world that you can go to learn how to specifically design cars. One of them happens to be the Art Center. There's one in Germany called Pforzheim, and then there's one in Detroit called CCS, College for Creative Studies. But the Art Center, for whatever reason, kind of stands alone. Maybe it's just sunny California and everyone wants to be in LA. I don't know.
And what's the full name of the Art Center?
It's called the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California. Okay. Cool. So, you know, if you've heard of the Rose Bowl, it overlooks that.
Wow. Must be beautiful.
It is beautiful. And you definitely pay for it.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's really exclusive and expensive. Tell me not the price, but tell me the numbers. I remember you've told me before of like how many students get in, how many start, how many leave.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because I actually just thought about this story the other day because one of my first professors at that school, actually the first class of my first day at the Art Center. That professor just passed away. And I'll never forget that day because, like I said, it's the first day of the first class of like my dream coming true. Yeah. I'm at the Art Center and I'm late.
Oh, no.
And I'm late.
You finally made it and you're late on the first day to the first class.
Yeah, I'm late.
That's so, like the movies. That literally sounds like a movie scene.
Yeah, lesson number one. Oh, no. Well, I have to tell you that there's another guy who graduated. Bit of a rabbit trail. His first day, he was staying with a family. Everyone always has really crazy stories about who they stay with there, too. Because it's so expensive that you really have to get crafty about where you stay.
And it's California.
And it's California. The guy was the individual's house where this guy was staying, we can talk about this later, happened to have a Countach in his garage that he was given access to take to school. Okay, first day. Anyway, my story is not that cool, but so anyway, I'm late. I roll up to this class. Everyone's there, so it's kind of embarrassing. And the teacher is already writing on the wall, or not the wall, but the whiteboard. And he's drawing a pyramid, not a pyramid scheme. It's not even a scheme for. He draws a pyramid and then he draws.
Wait, if anybody watches The Office, we're going to make Office quotes on
that's
here.
That's true.
We're both Office fanatics. That's so true. If you're an Office fanatic, just get ready because we're going to make Office quotes. So, pyramid scheme. Michael, that is a pyramid. Anyways.
I have to make a couple calls. What did I say? Don't worry about Steve. He drives a Corvette. He's doing just fine. okay, anyway. So, he draws this pyramid. And then he proceeds to draw 22 vertical lines at the base of this pyramid. There's 22 of us in the class. So 22 of us started, I don't know how many thousands applied to get in for that term. Many thousands. By God's grace, I was one of them that got in. And we're sitting there, he draws these 22 lines. And then at the top of the pyramid, at the point, he draws three vertical lines. And then above that, he draws the cost. Which, I don't know, should I share the cost of 8 terms of the Art Center?
Sure, it's public info.
Yeah, it is. You can go there and look it up. But for me, it was $250,000.
Wow.
Just for tuition. You're not living, you're not eating, you're not getting supplies, you're not, So, you're pretty not crazy. Living anywhere. Yes. So, $250,000. And he says, these three lines, that's how many people are going to get jobs at the end. If you make it to graduation.
If
you make it to grad, so right there, not everyone's making it to graduation. And then on top of that, only three of you are getting jobs. So immediately I'm like, okay, I just showed up late. And I'm definitely not one of the three because, you know.
that is like a movie scene right there. That's
I went up to him afterwards and I said, hey, I'm really sorry I'm late. You know, I was trying to make it right. And he looks at me, he's just like, don't tell me you're sorry. Just don't be late. And I said, yes, sir, you got it. And anyway, we ended up being good friends. He was an amazing teacher, an amazing man. Really just amazing in so many ways, and I so appreciate him. But that was my first day there, that was an incredible experience. Again, if we do a design podcast specific later, we can talk about it.
Yeah, but we definitely will. There's plenty of aspiring automotive designers that would love to hear these specific.
I would have loved
details.
To.
Yeah,
because it's kind of mysterious of how you even navigate that. But anyway, so during my time there, I had really cool internships and opportunities to work with, you know, various companies. I think some of them were Subaru, Chevrolet, Genesis, Faraday Future. I don't know what they're doing. Who else? There's others. But an incredible experience that I wouldn't change for anything. And then, so I did happen to get a job.
You ended up being one of the three.
I was one of
pretty
the three.
Pretty crazy right there.
Yeah. Very crazy right there. And actually went to work for an aerospace company.
Cool.
which was kind of unexpected, but very cool. And very cool because the studio that I was at was run by an automotive guy. So it was very much like an advanced kind of automotive studio. So we were doing really far out, adventurous, very creative things. And that was a lot of fun. Then I got the call, and we can talk about this later too, but I got the call from John Hennessy, with the offer to come here and basically stand up an in-house design studio, whereas before we had basically just contracted.
Right.
And so it was kind of like an offer I couldn't refuse. And so I took it, and, we've loved it ever since coming here, and love getting to know you and others. And it's been a lot of fun. Particularly like you come to a place and you get to work on, what's going to be the world's fastest car. It kind of doesn't get better than that.
Doesn't really get better. It's a toy factory.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of work. But I actually love hard work.
Yeah.
And so, it's great. And there's a lot of, I wish we could show people and talk about, some of the things coming down the road.
But there's a lot of
good stuff coming.
Yeah. And you moved here with your sweet wife, your two sweet babies. Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, one at the time. Just
oh, yeah, right. You only had one when you moved here.
Yeah,
but
just
recently,
three weeks ago. Yep.
So congratulations there. And there's so much that I've loved getting to know you and getting to be really good friends. So I think it's just such an awesome story. Just really glad you're here. Glad we can get to podcast together.
Yeah,
now
me
too. We're co-hosts of the Hennessy podcast. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, let's hear about you.
Yeah. Kind of same thing, honestly. I was into cars since my earliest memories. I have memories specific that I can picture right now in kindergarten. So what is that, like 4 or 5 years old, when I was talking about Vipers. And my teacher, whoever, kept saying, like, yeah, are you going to buy a Viper? Like, you got to be successful to buy a Viper. I'm like, yeah, I do. You're right. So Viper's still on my list. I've been really thinking about Gen 5 Vipers.
ACRs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What's the price today?
Oh, minimum like 160, even though a year ago it was like 120.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, talking lots about cars. I have so many early memories of really cool cars. My dad was a mechanical engineer. My parents both had Corvettes before they had me. They had several Corvettes, and then I guess when they had me, they decided to not have Corvettes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty interesting. And I actually have a very similar memory to you when you were talking about Pininfarina.
Uh-huh.
And my dad had this weird... I don't know if obsession is the right word, but he really liked Alantes, Cadillac Alantes.
I'm trying to picture that car.
Yeah, it's the
two-door?
Two-door, okay. Cadillac coupe.
What year?
It's like the 90s.
Oh, I know exactly what you're... Yeah.
And it's a Pininfarina.
Yes, yeah. That's a cool car.
So when I was like 13 or something, my dad had always liked these, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna... He had owned several, but for whatever reason, he was like ready to get one more. So he bought a green, really cool, dark green Alante, and it said Pininfarina on the side.
Yeah.
And I loved cars, but I didn't understand what Pininfarina was. But I was like, oh, it's like Ferrari, right?
No way.
Yeah, dude. I swear. It's like the same memory.
That's crazy.
I think I was just probably older than you, and I still didn't understand exactly what Pininfarina was. I wasn't like 5.
Yeah.
When you said that earlier, I was like, cool. Wow, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother was really into cars. He unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but he was a super, super car guy. He had all sorts of cars. Excalibur, you know what that is?
Yeah.
He had one of those.
Did he build it himself?
I don't really know that much about the Excalibur.
Oh, okay.
Is it a kit car?
It is, but I actually...
Well, he had one. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
He had, the old 8 series, like the... old 8 series BMWs.
Yeah.
He had Corvettes. I learned how to drive manual in a C6 Z06, which was his.
That's crazy.
And it was, I'll never ever forget it. because I mean, I feel like if you learn manual, it's like you're young and you're in a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
But I was like
or
super
Jeep.
Yeah, or Jeep or something. Yeah. I was just lucky that he thought it was a great idea to let me learn manual, and it was. Mm. Lots of really cool car memories. So fast forward to high school, show up to high school day one, and my mom looks over at a nice lady, Hope Hennessy, and says, "Hey, we know each other." And the weirdest connection is that they work together about, well, now it's been almost 27 years, but whatever the math is then, they worked together in the early 90s at a bank. And so that's
in Houston.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really weird small world connection.
That is.
And so I was going to school at the time with John and Hope Hennessy's kids. Mm-hmm. And the next year of school, Emma Hennessy showed up. And I thought she was really cute. That's John's second oldest kid, first oldest daughter. She was super cute. And I started becoming friends with her. And we dated for a little bit, like a month. And then she broke up with me, broke my heart.
Classic.
But I stayed really close with her, really close with the family, and started working at the shop. Always asked John about the shop. And one day he was like, "Hey, you want to come work there for the summer?" And I was like, "Absolutely. Yeah, no question. I'll be there." Mm-hmm. And it went really awesome. I worked really hard and I just kept coming back. He kept asking me, "Yeah, come back. See you next summer. See you next Christmas break." Just never stopped. So throughout college, I was always there and I kind of had my eyes set, like when I graduate, I'm going to go work there full time. And then towards the end of college, Emma finally gave me a chance.
Boom.
I was in the friend zone for many, many years, but always liked her and always stayed close with her. And we were just best friends, honestly. So it was a nice transition when she finally took a second look at me. In a romantic way. So we started dating my senior year of college, her junior year, and I already knew I wanted to be with her and marry her. Took her some time, but we got there, and now we're married. So I kind of got lucky. I worked for John before I married his daughter.
So it wasn't just...
I earned my stripes, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
But marrying his daughter sure helps a little bit.
Sure.
And it's been a lot of fun since. And honestly, it's crazy if you think about it, the fact that I was actually a true car guy my entire life. And funny enough, how do you write that story?
Yeah.
That I end up here? I don't know.
It's
pretty crazy.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So really cool stories. We have so many awesome things here at Hennessy that we get to experience. You know, we have a really young and fit team.
Yeah.
Fit. Yeah. Like super fit. but really young, hungry people on our team, that really want to work hard, get the job done. And pretty much everybody here has a passion for automobiles. And if you don't, you start kind of developing one, you start really learning, what drives all these crazy car people.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, well, I'll touch on one Art Center story because I'll circle back to it. The fact that in automotive design, there's really not that many car guys and girls. I remember that being one of the weirdest things, and consequently, it's one of the things that I appreciate most about Hennessy. Is the fact that everyone here is actually, you know, really passionate about cars. It was almost disappointing to me because I thought when I'd get to the Art Center, I thought that everyone would just be like me, like just obsessed with cars,
right.
You know, knows everything. It's like research them, you know, growing up, I got like all five car magazines.
Every airport trip, I remember.
Yeah.
I was asking my parents, please, can I buy all these car
magazines?
Yeah.
And tell me what was like the Halo magazine.
For me, it was DuPont Registry.
Boom. That is exactly...
Because they had all the pictures.
Of the coolest...
Best cars ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I didn't...
And it was 1995, and it was like... That was a huge...
It was legit.
Deal.
I never understood that DuPont Registry was like literally a registry for cars.
Uh-huh.
I just thought, oh, wow, they have all these cool pictures. I
Same.
Want that.
Same.
I want it.
Same. Yeah. Oh, that was like this book that could never be thrown out to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like, yeah, actually, in one of the questions to get into the school, you had to write about like what some of your favorite cars and stuff. I don't know what some of these people put down, but yeah, a lot of the guys,
the Volkswagen. Yeah. That's for another episode, but maybe you've read some of the news.
Yeah. So anyway, it's nice to be around car people. I'd say in my starting class, there was one other guy, and you know who you are, that we just bonded over cars. And then by the time I graduated, maybe a handful of guys that are like actually car guys.
In a non-mean way, it's crazy as a real car guy that those are the guys designing the cars of our future.
I was going to say, I don't mean this in a bad way at all, because it is what it is. I actually respect people who are not car guys or car people to go into that kind of line of work, because some of the most creative, brilliant, just artists in design, not even artists, but just designers, because design is, it's art and science. It's got to function well and be so beautiful, all these things. Some of the most amazing people, way more talented than me, are not car people. But now what the flip side of that is, it kind of makes sense a little bit, some of the directions of the car industry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it totally does.
Because if you're not a car person, say you take the train to work, or you ride your bike to work, you have there's an element of, I just have to believe that the best products are going to be done by those who are most passionate about them.
Right. And it feels like people are transportation designers, not car designers.
Yeah, and mobility and all these kind of buzzwords and stuff like that. That's exactly it. Yeah. So
I'm going to go ahead and assume, if you're listening to this podcast, that you're a car person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, we welcome anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's transition and talk about... Let me re-say that. Let me transition. I mean, it's really awesome to hear some of our stories. And just in case anybody's wondering, I don't have any design or engineering background. I'm a finance major and business guy through and through. I just love cars. So I don't really have any technical or special skills within the field of cars. But
you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
I know enough about engines and mechanics to understand, not to do. And
yeah,
I'm learning a lot from you about some design stuff, which is really cool.
Well,
I just know what I like and know what's good.
Well, yeah, everyone does, which is the cool. I mean, everyone does, but the kind of the trick of automotive design is designing something that you don't even know why it looks good. So the average layperson on the street just goes, man, that's a good looking car.
Right.
But you have no idea what went into making that car. So anyway, one of the for Hennessy right now, one of the cars that is, would you say, is like the most exciting at the moment, right?
Yep.
The TRX.
TRX, baby.
Yeah.
Super, super exciting. It's huge right now.
Yeah.
Perfect transition into kind of what we've got going on with the TRX. If you don't know what the TRX is, you should definitely look it up, but it is a Hellcat-powered Ram truck, and it is unbelievable. It is absolutely the king of trucks right now, and we're saying that as people who really love Raptors. The Raptor is really an amazing truck. It's now, the Gen 2 Raptor is now ended with production, and we're waiting for the Gen 3, which will hopefully be released and in production later this year. But for now, the TRX is king. It has 707 or 702 horsepower from the factory. Yeah. And it's all-wheel drive, so it launches really hard. It does. Supercharged V8. It's really nice on the inside.
Yeah.
The suspension is Bilstein. It's amazing. It rides really awesome. It feels like it wants to like jump off the ground because it's so smooth. And we're going to be modifying a lot of them.
Yeah.
And what our new line of modified TRXs is called the Mammoth. And it's a really cool name, honestly. And I think it really exemplifies the true power that's going to come from our modifications. So I think the TRX is already a 10, but we're definitely turning it up to 11 and turning it up to 12. We have two packages as usual, 900 horsepower and 1,000. And, you know, we're not trying to advertise it. You can go to our website for advertisement, yeah. But what we want to talk about is TRX versus / or Raptor.
Yeah.
And I think what you said earlier is we're really comparing against the future Raptor R.
Yeah. Well, would you say this is fair to say the consensus, at least here, is if it's just TRX versus base Raptor, it's no contest, right?
No contest.
Yeah.
I love Ford. We love Ford here. So if you're a Ford guy, you know, we're not knocking Ford. But for the Gen 3 Raptor, everything I read, when it comes out this fall, it's going to be the EcoBoost, which is an amazing motor.
It is.
I actually really like the EcoBoost for what it is and the gas mileage that it gets and the reliability that it gets, the weight and everything. It makes pretty decent power. We had our Velociraptor 600 on the Gen 2 Raptor that did awesome, 600 horsepower.
Well,
great.
Now, that's an interesting question. TRX or whatever we do with the, you know, the new EcoBoost Velociraptor.
Yeah, the EcoBoost, I mean, at the end of the day, I love the EcoBoost, but I will always pick a V8 over the V6.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get so much power out of the twin turbo EcoBoost V6.
Yeah.
So I think there will be a price difference. I think the TRX, you know, is between 80 and 95, 80 and 100 versus the Gen 3 Raptor with the EcoBoost will probably be more like 70 to 85 at the most, but it'll be less than the TRX for sure. So there's a price argument there. But I think, again, the comparison is the future Raptor R, which everything we read, all the rumors that we hear and see, is that it's going to have
700
something.
Plus horsepower.
It has to.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I just don't see how the Raptor and Ford are going to compete. And we all know Ford is not one to lose and not to be in second place.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and I think, I not to be unfair to them, because before I had seen the TRX, I still was like, oh yeah, I'd still take a Raptor.
Yeah, Raptor's awesome. It's amazing.
Tried and true. Like, you know what you're getting. It's going to look, I think it looks good. It's kind of an evolutionary generation, you know? Like, the first to the second was a pretty big jump.
Super big, yeah.
This, not so much. That's okay. It still looks really good. But yeah, the Raptor R.
And honestly, pre-TRX, I hadn't been too interested in Ram trucks, I'll be honest.
Same. Well, I don't know that they, I know they had like the Rebel and
they had the Rebel and their refresh with the interior and the big screens was pretty nice. We have an employee that has one of the regular 1500s.
Yeah.
It's a nice truck.
Yeah.
I'm not a crazy truck guy to begin with, but I don't think I would have picked the regular Ram over, let's just say, an F-150.
Yeah.
But it all changes.
The
TRX is crazy.
It is. Yeah. What's like one of your favorite aspects? I mean, is it just the wow factor of the speed, or is it like the interior, you know, it kind of wowed us, or?
Yeah. Good question. I feel like the fact that you're in a full size, pickup truck and it launches and does 3.90 to 60 that we verified on the track stock.
That's insane.
I mean, 3.9, we're talking about, if you go back like 5 years ago, a 3.90 to 60 was like pretty, pretty fast. I mean,
I still think it's fast.
I mean, yeah, it's still fast.
But even 10 years ago,
it's a 6,500 pound truck.
Yeah.
And it's going to 0 to 60 stock,
3.9.
That's crazy awesome. So it kind of takes, I mean, for the longest time, if you have a stock truck, you're talking about something that, okay, it's not that fast, but it's really usable and it's really nice and it drives really smooth and it's big, it's functional. And you didn't really think of trucks as being fast.
Yeah.
Minus a few exceptions, Cyclone, Lightning, whatever. And then we started modifying trucks and we've really made a name for, like, trucks are fast, trucks are cool, trucks are performance vehicles. And then, you know, the factory really played onto that by making the Raptor and other things. But like, this truck is like sports car fast stock.
Mm-hmm. And, it rides.
It rides nice. Really nice. Everything's awesome.
Yeah.
And when we're done with it, it's like fast sports car speed.
Yeah. I haven't driven in the, one of our tuned, what do we,
the 900, yeah. 900.
I'd love to drive that, but yeah. Just the stock, I think I was in it when John launched it. We had five of us. I mean, we were loaded down.
Yeah.
And that thing hauls.
Still moves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time. So, yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Cyclone and stuff like that. And I just thought about this, but, you know, traditionally, like, super trucks or, like, super luxurious trucks, there's been a few, whether it was Cadillac or, like, the Blackwood, if you remember those, the Lincolns.
Oh, yeah.
They've never landed truly.
Yeah.
You know, Cadillac, I think, was the most successful, clearly, because they had a couple generations of it. And then you have the Lightning, which is like a road racer truck.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to love that
truck.
Yeah, of course, because Fast and Furious, yeah. That's a dream car of mine.
Yeah.
With the logos on the side,
yes.
Racer's Edge.
I need the big bottles. Better yet, make it two.
Make it two. But I think the fact that you're basically being true to what a truck is with the Raptor and the TRX.
Yeah.
It's not a track car. It's not a road racer car. It is inherently an off-road workhorse.
Yes.
And so then when you turn the power up to 11 with this off-road suspension, gnarly tires, all this stuff, bigger fenders. It's like a Baja one that, you know, it's a Baja looking truck.
Yeah,
I think
literally.
That's why I think that works and makes sense. So, you know, yeah, Ford just absolutely nailed with this, but yeah, I mean, when the Raptor R comes out, that's going to be, a really cool comparison.
It's going to be legit. And the great thing for us is, We're Switzerland. We're neutral.
Yeah.
We get to modify all of them and benefit from all of them. And we love both. We're not particular bias. We love both. They're both awesome. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about all the time we have today, folks. Thank you so much for listening. One thing, if you guys have any questions that you want to talk about in our podcast, make sure to email podcastquestions@HennesseyPerformance.com. One more time, podcastquestions@HennesseyPerformance.com. And as we keep going every week, we will be fielding some of those questions, and we would love to hear what you guys want to hear about and what you guys want us to talk about. So in that email, put your question, put your name, and put your Instagram handle if you want to share it, and we'll give you a shout out.
And definitely keep listening because, you know, as we talked about before this, we want this podcast to be for the, you know, diehard,
super diehard,
you know, car people and Hennessy fans. And so we're going to be giving, you know, exclusives on this podcast and giveaways and just talk about things that, you know, you're not going to find anywhere else. So
exactly. It's only going to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
So even stuff we can't even talk about yet.
Yeah.
So make sure not to miss out. But thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.